and welcome to the Goddess of Geek podcast. I thought about opening it with a joke about horse nuts, but instead I'm going to say my name's Adam Cook and I'm joined by Nicola Ardron. How are you, Nick? All right?
Hello. I'd have liked to have heard that joke about horse nuts.
I say a joke, I've over-egged the pudding there, because what I was going to do is instead of just starting hello and welcome, I was just going to say horse bollocks and welcome to... And it's not really a joke, it's just profanity. It's just profanity. But I vaguely remember promising I would mention that in some coverage of Red Dead Redemption 2, mm-hmm. Which, let's face it, is what... I actually saw an advert for this game on a bus where I live today, and I live in a very small... very small sort of sleepy southern part of the UK that where anytime I see anything game related that isn't on telly, I sort of go, oh wow, this game's quite big then. I also saw some stats actually today that I think people were going, oh my god, it hasn't outsold FIFA, and it's like, well, it's not going to, is it? Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's a huge game, but it's not going to outsell FIFA because FIFA's FIFA.
Has it beaten Black Ops?
I don't know. I only literally briefly saw that it hadn't beaten FIFA, and right. I'm not even now sure where I saw that. But
okay.
But you know, I mean, it's not a game that everyone's going to rush out and buy. I think it's a game that most people that we would associate with, like being within the gaming sphere on Twitter, would definitely buy.
Yes.
And you know, most of the people I know that are into games. But listen, Red Dead Redemption 2 is out now. People are playing it. I'm really pleased. Normally, I'd like to be able to talk about a game so that the podcast goes live when the embargo's up. But it's quite nice because you've played it. Whereas normally, if I'd reviewed it, and you know, we wouldn't all have played it. But you've played a bit of Red Dead now.
I have. Yeah. It was a day one purchase, Adam. Day one. I'm not very far in. I'll be honest.
What chapter?
Like that's chapter two. I'm on chapter two.
See, I was actually going to say that. I don't know why I asked that, because you could sort of be as long as you wanted to in chapter two, and you know what I mean. Like, you don't have to. That there's a lot to do in this game, Nicola. Mm. A lot to do in this game, and I think we should start by talking about the pace of the game.
Yes.
Because I think that people are going to be put off by that.
Definitely.
Because I think it's probably the slowest paced game I've played that I can actually, well, that I can think of. Mm. I can't think of a game, and I don't mean like it moves slowly. I mean it's kind of, it almost revels in how slow it moves. It kind of, but I was torn sort of playing it pre-release whether I thought it was a great thing that this game was like, no, just chill.
Yeah.
But also part of it kind of feels like them going, look at us, look at how great we are. And I never quite managed to decide what side of that I fell on. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I mean, let's get it said right away, like Continental Drift is quicker than this game. But I do think that the pace is very deliberate. And
like you say,
I think that there is definitely an element of Rockstar being super self-aware about what they're doing. And I did read somewhere that, like, particularly the very beginning of the game when you're still up in the snowy mountains.
Yeah.
That was deliberately slow to kind of give you a reflection of just how difficult life is for the Dutch gang at that point.
I was quite worried when... I mean, this doesn't go on forever, that early section.
No.
But I was quite worried playing that. That I was thinking this, I think it's partly brave and partly daft, because not only the game itself, I can say to people who haven't obviously finished it, but it never picks up pace to where you're like Spider-Man, you know, which is a game about moving everywhere all the time. It never really picks up steam very near the end, but it never really goes for it during the main length of the game. But that early section is kind of that pace to an nth degree. It is, because you're literally in the snow, you can't move. But I think it also sets out its stall, and it's important that it does this, because I mean, you kind of need to know, this is why it's important to mention this in reviews, that like it's impressive that everything has a unique animation, but it's also worth noting that none of them are skippable. None of them.
Mm.
Like, every animal is... I don't know how far you've got in terms of, like, hunting, but have you skinned anything big yet?
I have skinned a rabbit and a raccoon.
Okay,
that's
so
it.
When you skin, like, a horse...
Oh, and a deer.
A horse,
I've skinned a deer.
Deers are getting up there, but when you skin, like, a cow or a bear or... They are... multi-camera animations, like they cut from camera to camera showing you.
Didn't they get, like, didn't they mocap hunters actually doing this?
It wouldn't surprise me.
They got in load of professional hunters or whatever and mocap them doing it, skinning all these different animals. That's what I've read. Now, I don't know whether that is just, you know, like,
no, I know, but you told me about this game like that, I'd kind of believe.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's that pace never changes. It's kind of one of those things where it's like, look, this is what we are, and if you don't like it, tough shit. And I feel like the game oozes that. You go into a shack and you loot stuff and you loot each individual item. I only found out, like, I've been playing it for like nearly 3 weeks, and I only just found out apparently if you hold down square, it just loots everything.
Mm-hmm.
Never told me that. The game never told me that.
I just sort of found that by accident by just, like, well, I'm playing on an Xbox, so it's the X button.
Square, yeah, X button, yeah.
Cross, whatever you call it, I don't know.
Yeah, X one on Xbox, why not?
The blue button, yep. Adam. And I only did that by accident, but that was born out of frustration. My God, seriously, you're going to, like, make me individually check every item?
Oh, it's going to make you. It's going to make you. You can, and that actually gets a bit worse when you get, I mean, you might actually already have encountered this, where when you've kind of got a lot of stuff on your person and you can't pick up, like, any more tinned peaches.
Yeah.
And so you have to, like, hold the left trigger to move them with the right stick to look at something else. It doesn't, again, actually, you might be able to tell me this, but I don't recall the game ever telling you that you can just hold down on PS4 the options button to bring the map directly up. Because otherwise, it's quite cumbersome to go start, map, you know, press a button in the map, back. Like, the menus go deep, and it's one of those things that where every other game developer in an open world, you tap the touchpad on a PS4 and it brings the map up.
Yeah.
Not in this game, because it's Rockstar. And it sounds like I'm being negative. I kind of like that they're out there a little bit being like, no, we do it our way. Because it does give that impression of a singular vision for the game. But that goes both ways. Like, there are going to be people who will bounce off this game so hard.
Yeah.
Like, they will just knock out of the mountains. Whereas I kind of love the world. I think it took 20 hours before I fast traveled. Maybe more. Actually, maybe nearer 30. And that's quite an achievement for a game this size, don't you think?
Definitely. I mean, I definitely agree with you that people are going to bounce off this game, particularly as, like, all of the reviews have been super, like, you know, critically it's been received very well, hasn't it? I mean, I think it's been, is it rolling at a 97?
Yeah, I think it's, like, straight into the kind of one of the top ones of all time already,
I mean,
I think, yeah.
But there again, Rockstar generally do tend to review exceptionally well. And I've been caught out by that in the past. Like, I purchased a Grand Theft Auto 4 and 5 off the back of absolutely glowing rave reviews. Despite knowing that, as a rule, I bounce off GTA anyway. But, I got suckered in two times, and I've played them, and I played maybe 10, 12 hours of 4 and maybe about 15 plus some GTA Online, and then bounced off them again because they're just not games that I gel with. And I've tried to verbalise why that is, but the only way I can sort of describe it is that they're just too blokey.
I think that's fair. Like, the opening, can you remember the opening of GTA 5? I forget. Do you know, I can't remember the bloody character's name. It's Marcus. There's Marcus. What are the other two?
You've got Trevor.
Trevor. Oh,
Michael,
Trevor's the nut job.
and
I can't remember.
No, I can't.
But like the language used in the start of that game. In fact, almost every character's introduction in that game is like, I totally get what you mean in terms of blokey. And the thing I've always, don't get me wrong, I like the GTAs. I like Rockstar games generally, like, you know, Bullies and all that sort of stuff. And Red Dead Redemption was my favourite game of that generation.
Yeah.
However, I never, whenever people rave about, oh, the writing, it's always the one element where I'm there going, really? I'm playing a different story then, but this game, Red Dead Redemption 2, I think that might be the first time where I've gone, actually, this is well written. Not, they don't hit everything. They try, they swing and miss sometimes, but I think the combination of voice act, like the voice acting in this game is unbelievable.
It's astonishing. It's,
like, it's just, it's ridiculously good. It's next level good.
Yeah.
I would love to introduce the production team or the producer behind how they got the performances they got, because Arthur's drawl is just, it's immaculate. It is, you should get tired of him saying, come on, girl, the way you mean, you know, or boy, whatever your horse is, you know, and yet somehow
no
you don't.
There's no shrieking testicles on my horse, Adam.
Yeah, same. I've got, well, I've got obviously multiple horses, but the two are both females. Yes. Yes. But I don't know. Sometimes I'm a sap for this stuff, but Rockstar tend to shoot for the hills, and I feel like sometimes they don't make it. Now, I think Arthur's story is an interesting one because it's a bit like, it's Titanic syndrome. This is a prequel. You know kind of how it ends, ultimately, because you know what happens in Red Dead Redemption. Well, one.
Yeah.
Not, you know, but the interactions between all the characters, I don't think a game's done this before. Like, you want to the camp thing, people I was the thing I was worried about. I was like, I don't want to maintain a camp, but I do. Like, the thing about that camp is I can't wait to go back there after a day in the wilderness to talk to my posse and learn about them. And they do, without spoiling it, there are missions involving, like, women suffragettes.
Right.
And there are, I'm not the person to talk about either of these things, but there are also, obviously, the era, there's race tension, you know what I mean? I don't think they 100% land it, but I think they get closer than they normally do. Like,
yeah.
I saw a tweet, I wish I could credit it, but it's like, someone said that Arthur listens. Rather than it being this big bombastic thing, like when there's like women's suffragette stuff going on, he listens. He doesn't give an opinion, and when obviously when people speak to him, he answers.
Mm-hmm.
But that moment tends to, rather than be about him, who, and he's the main character, it tends to be that he is a part of this thing that is happening,
mm-hmm.
because he is tangentially linked to some other person, and I think that's interesting. Like, there's a side quest I did. This isn't a spoiler because it's just, you know, it's optional. I just saw this drunk guy in a town, and this stands out to me because and this is something I want to talk about a bit more, like the response this game elicited in me. I saw this drunk guy, and he's like, "Oh, they took everything from me," and like, oh, okay, this is a stranger mission or a side quest or whatever you want to call it, a question mark on the map. And he said, yeah, they kicked me out of my home, you know. Oh, it's terrible. I'm not allowed back there. They'll arrest me if I do. All I want is my pappy's revolver and his and my ledger. And I think, I forget what the third item was. It might have been a hat. Can't remember. And I went off to this house. And you go in this house and you start looking around and it's all barricaded up. And like, wow, this, you know, they did. They took everything from me. And as you go in the house, you start finding, there's another bit that I won't spoil because it's just a little nice little thing that happens. You find his stuff, and then you find what actually happened.
Mm-hmm.
Turns out this dude's pappy, who he's so proud of, and he wants his life back that they took from him. Turns out they're slave traders,
right?
And you are left. You go back to this dude, and you're like, "Well, I got your stuff." And Arthur reacts as I think any right minded person would react, and like he's like basically short version, "Fuck you," you know. He actually says, I think the phrase is, some memories are best left in the past, and what he's, or something like that, where he's basically saying, or it might be that some jobs shouldn't be brought back, like, you know, he's basically saying, well, you know what he's saying, you're the arsehole here, it's good that they've done this. And this guy, then it's, you know, the little cutscene finishes. This guy's, because you throw his ledger on the fire, you throw his gun down. He tries to pull it the trigger on you, but it's like an old gun and it's knackered. And he cuts back to you in the game, and I'm just looking at this guy by his little tent. You know, he's lost everything. Rightly so, and he's now crying because his ledger that reminds him of the good old days when he was a slave trader, and he's crying there. And I walked away and I got to my horse and I came back, and I couldn't. I never do this because he's a civilian, and I walked back to him. And I was like, "Fuck you, mate!" And I just shot him in the head. I was like, "No," I was like, "No, no," because what if somehow he can, and it would, I'd believe it. What if somehow he's able to go off and do more of what he wants to do, which is slave trading. It's like, no, I have the power, I'm stopping this.
Yeah.
And this game elicits feelings in me that I haven't had many games have. Another one, I went into a... Do you know how you can go to places and they're like, hey, get off my land, you know, and you're like, oh, yeah, shit, sorry. And you sort of, you defuse it and then you kind of bugger off. And I'd been out hunting and I'd come across this land, and this guy did this, and it was just like, all right, I'm going. I was on horseback, and I'm going, and obviously I didn't go quick enough, and he pulled his gun out. Mm-hmm. And he caught me on a bad day. And I just was like, you know what? I've had enough of you people pulling your guns on me. I'm going. I can't go any quicker. Mm. I'm not running. So I was like, you know what? You're on your own. I'm going to kill you. So I killed him. And then I went, and I thought, well, I've done it now. I've gone renegade. I may as well.
Rogue.
Yeah, so I may as well loot his stuff. The dude had nothing. Like, he had a can of beans, no money. And I just looted this little house, and I walked out, and I was like, well, I feel pretty shitty about this. I could have just, he might have shot me, but he wouldn't have killed me. Mm. And then his dog come out and started barking. And so I went over to the dog, patted the dog, calmed the dog down, and I got on my horse and rode away, and I felt awful. Mm. Like, why? And it's just a game. I wonder if even in your sort of early hours, so to speak, have you had any moments?
Yeah, that's what this game is. I've done a couple of missions for Strauss.
He's
been doing the lending of the cash. Yeah. And I've gone to collect the debts. And the two guys that I've gone to collect the debts from have got nothing. The game, I've seen this on Twitter actually, and I kind of agree with it, but also understand why it's the way it is. So I've been to see some fella, some Polish fella, who has borrowed money and he can't pay it back. And the only way, I mean, I tried to just threaten him, but
really?
The game wants you, you have to beat them.
There are moments where it does that.
You have to beat him. And I beat him to a point where he's just like, just take what I've got.
That's,
so then
yeah,
rifling through this man's house, taking his granddad's watch and his wedding ring or whatever.
Is that the one where he stands by a chest of drawers?
Yeah.
And so did you take the ring?
No, right,
did I. Damn it. I wanted to know what happens if you did, because I didn't either.
No, I didn't. But I rummaged through the house and rummaged until I got where a message saying the debt had been paid. Then I was like, well, what you stood by? So I just, out of interest, moved him and had a rummage through the drawer and found, like, the wedding ring and what have you. And I thought, you know what, I'm going to leave that, because
that's what I did.
The guy clearly has nothing. And then the other one that I've done, this is very early game, so...
I remember him, though.
The fella working his land, and he's clearly got, like, consumption or something. The game will not let me threaten him. I have to beat him to get to a point where the mission kind of goes, well, that's it, complete. And I get it, because, you know, you're playing an outlaw. You're a bad man.
Yeah.
You are a bad man. And there are elements where you can take a moral decision on some of the stranger missions, can't you? But these specific ones are particularly pushing you down this route that there's no escaping it, that this fella is a nasty piece of work. He is. He's a nasty piece of work. And, you know, his crew live outside the law, and they survive by making other people miserable at the end of the day. And, you know, but it is quite, you know, I want to just be able to just threaten. Because, I mean, you know, he's a pretty imposing figure.
But do you normally play games like that? Because I do.
I play them nice.
We got a question. Yeah, same. And I often wonder sometimes, like, do you remember the Infamous games? Literally, the games called Infamous, I mean. I think it was 2. I want to say Infamous 2 was the very first game I decided to play through. I had time on my hands at times. So I played that game through twice. And the second time I was like, well, I'm going to see what the bad powers are like. And it's like, oh my God, these are so much better. And I often wonder if I'm missing out by being Mr. Nice in these games.
Yeah.
So with this one, I feel like I totally get what you're saying. Like, I don't want to beat him. And don't want to spoil. Have you done a train mission yet?
No. Other than the main early doors.
Yeah, not that one. There's one a bit later. The game, like you say, you want to just threaten, and you're almost like, please, for fuck's sake, please.
Yeah.
Just give me whatever, please. But then you have to beat them, and you feel awful.
Yeah.
Because you don't. And I think that is. I think it's important because I think. I don't think that's like Rockstar not allowing the systems to breathe. I think that is intentional.
Oh, yeah.
No, you're going to feel bad. And I've never had that, I don't think, in a game. Not where my personal choice has made me feel bad. Because normally my personal choice should be like, look, I'm not going to hurt this guy. Like, he's going to call my bluff. I'm going to walk away with nothing. And again, it's one of those things I'm torn. Should there be an option for you to go away with nothing if you can't?
No, I find it awkward. I don't like the fact that I have to beat these people who have nothing.
Yeah.
But I understand why you're doing it, because this character is not a nice fella. Yep. And I think early on, he just feels like he's just a nasty piece of work and there's no humanity in him. No. However, I did a mission with an old sweetheart of his who wanted me to find her brother. And you see a different side. You see a much, much softer side of him. And I think that's how they're going to, or how Rockstar develop him as a character that feels real.
I love that mission. Well, not the actual mission. The story stuff in that mission I thought was amazing. Yeah. I loved that. Like you said, it's kind of the first moment where I was like, okay, I think I'm all right with this guy. I kind of like him. Because I was also having trouble aging him at that point. I remember thinking, I don't know how old he's supposed to be.
I think he's in his 30s.
You see, I thought that initially, but the way he talks to Dutch and Dutch talks about him, but then I don't really see how old Dutch is supposed to be either.
I think they're young men, but
really,
obviously
but Dutch talks about him
hard.
Like he's a son. Well, yeah, good point. Actually,
times are hard, you know, and they live their life outdoors. But I do think that he's probably in his early 30s.
Okay,
and I suspect Dutch is probably in his mid 40s.
That would, yeah. I mean, talking about the world again, it's early. I think people might think, oh, it's a bit early to be saying that, but bear in mind, I've been playing it for nearly 3 weeks, so I've had a bit of time to ruminate. I do think it might be one of the best open worlds I've ever seen, not just in terms of how nice it looks, because of course it looks nice. Like, you know, it does look spectacular even, but in terms of the Stranger missions don't repeat, or at least I never had them repeat. There were similar ones, like, you know, same sort of idea, but different dialogue, a different outcome. Mm-hmm. But there's one, I'm desperate to know how this plays out. And I don't know how to find out, because it seemed like such a random thing. It was like a rolling series of events for me. Like I'd been out all day kind of thing with me and my horse, Epona. We'd been out, it was my little horse, my starting horse at the time.
Mm-hmm.
I'd done loads of stuff. I'd got loads of skins. I'd got loads of money on the way, loads of stuff to put in the camp kitty and stuff. And I was just about to go back to camp, and then I just saw this thunderstorm start. And I was like, okay, well, let's get out of here. You know, you never know what could happen in this game, really. You could strike the horse or something. You know, I don't know. And then I just saw this cabin. I was in a sort of grotty area, like, you know, dank. I just saw this one cabin with a light on. I was like, well, that's... you know, it's on the way. I've got to go and have a look. So I go around the back, and it's just a small cabin. Oh, okay, well, maybe there's someone about. So I'm about to get off my horse when this guy, and all I can think of describing this is it reminds me of, oh, damn, I've forgotten the film name. You know, Squeal Like a Piggy Boy. You know that.
Deliverance
Country. This guy that looks like he's straight out of Deliverance comes to the door and just goes, "Hey, mister, you look mighty hungry. I got some stew inside. If you want some stew," and I was like, this doesn't seem right at all, because at this point the game had already given me a healthy mistrust of, like, I don't trust anything in this game, mm-hmm. because it truly feels like anything can happen. And he's like, he just keeps looking at me going, "Hey man, mister, I got some stew inside," and I'm looking at him going, I've got too much.
You're gonna murder me, aren't you?
I mean, you know, in theory, he shouldn't be able to. It's one against one. I got me dead eye, but I wondered if like a cut scene might happen where he strings me up or something. And I'm looking at it, I've got too much to lose. And I thought, well, do you know what? I'm gonna just go around the back of the house again. And I tried the back door locked. I don't know. I kind of really want to know what's in that house, but mm-hmm. I also really think he's gonna do something to me. And then before I'd had a chance to go, he goes, "I'm getting a real bad feeling off you, mister. Offers off," and he just shuts the door in my face. And I thought, oh, no, I'm definitely going in there now. But he's locked the door, and I'm like, shit, shit, shit. And I'm desperate to know what happened if I'd gone in there. But I've no way of doing it, because it was a one-and-done thing. Like, I can't... Maybe he was just had some... You know what? It wouldn't shock me if he just gave me some stew and saw me on my way. But it also wouldn't shock me if I woke up tied up in, you know, I really want to know. It was just like a boggy marshland area.
If I do that, I might go in then and go find in.
I'd be disappointed if it was just like nothing. But then I wouldn't be disappointed if it was like he just gave me some stew and saw me on my way. Like, because this world is it, like I said, nothing would surprise me. Everything seems believable in it, you know.
The one thing I will say that, like, Twitter's kind of spoilt something for me a little bit.
Oh really?
So I'm riding toward Blackwater. That was a weird experience, by the way. I don't know if you have same feeling where you're riding towards Blackwater,
right?
And all of a sudden, I was like, I recognise this place.
Yeah.
I recognise this place. And then I got a bit further, and then I came up where the church is with the graveyard.
Yeah.
Just outside Blackwater Town. And I'm like, oh my God, this is like, I know this place.
Really?
Yeah, it was weird. Really weird feeling. And then, of course, when you actually get into Blackwater, it's not quite as built up as it is from the original game, because obviously it's set 10 years sooner. But honestly, I had this really weird sensation riding across those sort of plains until you get to Blackwater. And then I was on the outskirts of Blackwater, and I'm like, my God, this is like, not like coming home, but it's like somewhere that I know from my youth. Or do you know what I mean?
Where you start recognizing streets and
stuff. It's really strange. But anyway, I was riding, and I see this guy struggling with his horse. I don't know whether, like, something's got into the horse's hoof or whatever. And I see this guy struggling with his horse, so I go over to try and help him, and I startle the horse, and the horse kicks the guy in the head, killing him, and the horse runs off. Oh, and I was like, oh, shit. Right. But now, on Twitter, I have seen about 4 or 5 posts that people have captured that same event in different, not in the same place that I encountered it. Like, I've seen it, and like, it kind of feels a little bit like the curtain's been pulled back a bit.
That's a shame, because I honestly felt like, I mean, again, yeah, before everyone was sharing stuff, I felt like there was very little repeatable content in so much as, like, this is a huge and lengthy game that it's like, how have you done that? How have you authored? I mean, I suppose 8 years, if you spend 8 years making a game, you can author a lot of unique content. The only one I've seen, and again, this isn't really the same, I don't think it's quite the same as what you're saying there, but is when you, because originally I thought, why have they not copied Assassin's Creed and just let you hold down X and have your horse follow a trail? They have. You have to hold down X and hold down the touchpad to bring up cinematic mode. And the thing is, I think this, I think they've done this on purpose. Everyone has, I reckon, 4 or 5 where the horse just runs you straight into something it's not supposed to.
Yeah.
And I think they've done that deliberately. I think it's almost like the way we've got to put this in there because people will share it. Mm-hmm. And it's working. Because the first time it happened to me, my horse just ran into a stagecoach. And it's like, fucking hell, man. Like, it's so painful. Like, I'm not worried about Arthur. I'm worried about the horse.
Yeah.
Like, but it's so... Oh, God, it's bad. Like, but everyone's had it.
Mm-hmm. I've seen somebody where they went into cinematic mode and they've posted this on Twitter and their horse just, like, totally runs face first into another horse.
Oh, I didn't have that.
And he gets thrown, actually, like, right across and the horse is there all, like, crumpled on the floor and I'm like,
oh, my God. I must admit, I haven't seen any horse-on-horse action, but, like, Jesus. I mean, it's difficult to know where to start and stop talking about this game, really, because it's one that people are going to be playing for weeks on end.
Oh, you know,
we've waited long enough for it. I will just say, just because I'll forget if we don't do it at some point, I think the audio design's wonderful.
Yes.
Like, those just the little stings and the music. And I also quite like, have you seen, if I say a bar montage yet? Like they do jump cuts, and it's the first time I've seen Rockstar ever do jump cuts. In fact, not many games at all do jump cuts.
I don't know. Maybe you've not got that. I've been in a bar fight.
The one, yeah, you must have done it. The one where you end up fighting in the street outside in the
rain.
I'm guessing it rains.
Yeah, you get thrown through a window.
Yeah, so the sort of montage-y thing where the evening progresses, where you're looking for... Oh, Christ, who was it you're looking for? Was it Larry? I can't remember who it is. You're looking for someone... And, like, yeah, you're getting more and more pissed as the evening goes on. And they jump around, like, from time to time. And then you end up fighting outside. Or am I mixing two up? I don't know. But, like, I find that there's some stuff that they don't normally do, Rockstar. Mm. Normally it's pretty straight. I love this game. I think it's just made for me. Like, I'm not going to lie. At first, a lot of the concerns I'm seeing people say,
yeah,
I shared entirely. And I do think the pacing is one of the biggest barriers.
Yeah.
But I think...
And the awful controls.
Again, at first, I totally agree. But the more time I spent with it, the more they became second nature. Like, I never shot anyone by accident. I must admit, I've seen people say, like, "Oh, an accidental trigger of, you know, you kill someone." I never had that. I never hit my horse.
I've seen a couple of funny videos where people have accidentally punched their horse.
Yeah, I never had that. Did that. I found out, like, see, some of it is a case of sometimes you get ahead of where the game thinks you're going to be.
Mm-hmm.
Some of it is like, you found out how to do a thing, and then later on the game's like, and you need to do this. Like, oh, I already worked it out. But that's an open world thing. That when you let people have access to a world that big,
they're going to discover it at different rates, aren't they?
That's right. And that's an issue, I suppose. But
I'll say that the only thing, like, I don't love this game at the moment.
Okay.
I want to play it because I, like you, loved the first game.
Yep.
And I want to play this. And I think that if I wasn't in this little gaming bubble to a certain extent, it's very easily a game that I would in the past have bounced well off, because it just doesn't like, it's really slow and the controls are awful. And it just, I mean, even now it's a bit like, well, is this going to get going? But for me, I'm saying all that, but then I'm sat there going, yeah, but I'm somebody who is perfectly happy to just potter about in a world.
And you'll be rewarded for that in this game, I will say. Like,
I just enjoy pottering. And the only thing else that would make it, like, make me properly love it in this early stage where it's a bit like it doesn't really want me to play it, if you know what I mean. It's doing everything it can to put me off.
Right.
Would be a photo mode.
I
know that people either roll their eyes or just whatever about the photo mode, but I mean, it's such a beautiful game that I just would love to be able to take some snaps of it with a proper photo. I mean, there is an in-game camera, and I'm
it's not a photo mode, though, is it?
Because
you can't pause time, so to speak.
No, but that's kind of interesting. I kind of enjoying the challenge
of
trying
to get
a good shot with it, in fairness.
Yeah,
I am trying to get... Although, one thing I will ask, at the moment, it seems I don't have a tripod. So if I take like a self-portrait, it's like he's had to put the camera on the ground.
Right.
Because, like, it always looks like I'm looking up at him rather than...
Gotcha.
It's, and I wondered whether I got, like, an attachment later on.
So there's a side quest I never did. Well, it's kind of like all the missions. There's, like, part one, part two, part three. I only did part one of... There's, like, a wildlife photographer.
Oh, yes, I found him.
Right, and I don't know if perhaps if you... Because I never bothered... Because I'm not that into the hunting. It's like once upon a time, this game for me is like, I'm going to get every challenge. I'm going to hunt every animal, perfect skin, blah, blah, blah. These days, not so much.
Yeah.
And I looked at that side quest and I was like, this looks like I'm going to end up having to go hunting and not when I want to, if you know what I mean. Rather than, I've found an animal, it's a bit quiet, I'm going to hunt that. It's a 3-star, I'm going to get it the perfect pelt. That felt like, oh, this is a hunting mission.
Yeah.
So I just avoided it. But I wonder if eventually, because he's got a tripod on his camera, so maybe...
Well, that's my theory as well. I wondered whether it was something that I eventually add to. Because as I say, at the moment, it is like he's having to put the box camera onto the floor to take the self-portrait. Now, like I say, I am kind of enjoying the challenge of trying to get a good snap with it. And I've also used the cinematic... camera to try and get some snaps.
But that's
going to
give you bars you don't necessarily want.
Yeah, I love a film bar though.
Bar. Well, if you're into it, I mean, I like that mode. I saw someone tweet they wished that they hadn't done that, and because it's quite jarring for them to go to and from it so much. I was like, I kind of love that. I really dig that. I love the way the cutscenes. Because the game is seamless.
Yeah.
But I kind of love that because sometimes in games, I'm trying to think what game it was recently where there was a game where I was pushing up on the stick before I realised, oh, hang on, I'm in a cutscene now. In many ways, that's old-fashioned, I suppose. And I suppose
that
is...
It gives it a kind of grandness, I think.
I think so. But, I mean, in many ways, a lot of Red Dead is old-fashioned. Like, well, literally, obviously. But The general movement, the general feel of Arthur is, to me, it's Rockstar through and through.
Oh, yeah.
And at some point, I wonder, because I was thinking about how, in terms of, like, you know, we had access to it, that it might have been you that pointed this out. I saw someone point out that, like, no YouTubers had access.
Mm.
Like, and Rockstar are, like, proper old school in that respect. And I kind of dig it.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I'm like, you know what? It's interesting to me that while most, if not all, developers would look at a game like Assassin's Creed Origins or Odyssey, they would look at Zelda Breath of the Wild and go, "Well, we're making a game like that. I see what you've done there."
Mm-hmm.
Rockstar have just gone, "Absolutely not." Not for
it's like
us.
They've completely closed themselves off, doesn't it? Like they've completely shut themselves down and not looking at anything else going on.
It's weird, but I kind of dig it. I don't know how long it would work for, but because I don't know, like there are some elements where like you can face plant easy in this game because of the motion.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not sitting here going, I think Red Dead Redemption 2 is perfect. I think it has flaws. I'm also going to say it's not my favourite game of this year so far.
Interesting.
It's definitely up there, but it's not my personal favourite game. I'm not going to say what that is because obviously we've got podcasts to do on that topic at a later date.
Mm.
I don't think it's the nailed-on game of the year, but I think that's because it lives and dies by its identity, and its identity is this game's slow. We're never going to rush, no matter what you want. You know, the game that kept springing to mind when I was playing it was Horizon Zero Dawn. Like, in that game, you spend a lot of time picking shit up.
Mm-hmm.
But it's instant.
Yeah.
Like, it does. Even Tomb Raider isn't that quick. You know, Tomb Raider, like, she breaks the same two branches off each time, that one animation. But in Horizon, it's like they have complete respect for your time. It's like bang, 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 done. You can do it while running past it, almost. Whereas this is the complete other end of the scale. And I think I like both of those games of a similar level.
Mm-hmm.
I respect it, if you know what I mean. But it's not my favourite game of the year.
Yeah, the gathering of the herbs and stuff. I think, again, that's deliberate. I mean, I know what you're saying.
It is,
it's definitely deliberate because it wants you to look really look
yeah.
at the world.
And at no point does it want you to remember it's a game.
It is really trying to mimic.
Yep.
Okay, so you need this particular herb.
Yep.
This is what it looks like. Now you're going to have to try and find it in the wild game. So you need to understand yep. what it looks like, where it's likely to grow. So it really makes you take notice of
it. Have you found anything on trees yet, Nicola?
No, but thanks for the heads up.
Yeah, keep an eye out on the trees.
I found a turkey, right? There's turkeys around Horseshoe Outlook. And I keep riding past them thinking, I'm going to hunt me one of those. And then I forget.
Why not?
Then I forget. But yeah,
no, but
I've done keep an eye out in the trees.
No, keep an eye out on the trees. It's difficult because of the kind of game it is, but try not to always look down.
Right.
Remember to look around you, not just in a 360. Remember to globe, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Like, there are things in trees that you can get that are valuable.
Wow.
I don't know.
Are there horse chestnuts, Adam?
So I think, what was the first one I found? I think, well, it's not a spoiler. Like, it's there. Like, I think I found I think it was an orchid. I want to say an orchid. Like, and certain flowers, basically, you can find on trees. And there is another thing that if you look up, you'll find. I'm not even going to say what that is. And I found that until I saw it in the menus. I was like, wait, what? Oh, I was looking at, like, you know, they do this thing where you can look at how much completion you've got.
Yeah.
And I was just going through it again. Yeah, okay, I don't want to see that. And then I saw this thing, I'm like, sorry, what? I haven't seen this one. I remember this specifically because I was 40% through the game, the entire game, not just the story, the 40% completed the whole thing. And I was like, I've never seen one of those. I need to be looking up more when I'm heading around through trees. But yeah.
Wow.
Red Dead is a big game. Do you know what? For those people listening to us, I'd love to know your thoughts. If we're watching this on YouTube or whatever, I'd love to see everyone's, like, long form essays on, because I think it's a complicated game and I think it makes you feel in a complicated manner.
Mm.
Which I'm hoping, if I've read this game right, leads us onto my memory of us.
Yes.
Because it's not just Red Dead we're going to talk about this podcast.
Yes. This is a game that I'm struggling a little bit with, if I'm honest.
Okay.
Do you know what it's about?
I'm not going to lie. I saw the aesthetic of it and thought, ooh, it is one of those. Oh, that looks a bit nice. And then I thought, I mean, you can tell me if I'm right or wrong. I don't even know. I thought it looked like maybe it was one of the kind of Limbo-like games, the insides, like the 2D. It is one of those, because if it is, I'm interested. But it just, the subject matter sounded interesting.
Yeah.
But I don't really know anything about it, if I'm honest with you, other than it looked good.
It's got kind of, I want to say, kind of 1930s cartoony aesthetic to it.
Okay. Not quite Cuphead, sort of.
Not quite Cuphead, but there's definite touches there that reminds me of that.
And
like that artistic style, not anything like Cuphead before we get down that path. There's nothing like that.
No, no, no.
And it's not really like Limbo either. If I'm honest, it reminds me much more of like Valiant Hearts.
Oh, I loved that game.
In that it's telling a story and using a game mechanic to do it.
Okay.
And it's the same sort of, you know, puzzling that goes on. You know, oh, I need this bit to fix that bit, but I've got to get through this bit to get that bit to fix the other bit. Do you know what I mean? Layers of different...
I'm actually 10 times more interested than I ever was, because I really liked Valiant Hearts.
Yeah, so
really
it's like Valiant Hearts, and it deals with a subject matter similar to Valiant Hearts. And this is where my... Not struggle. Well, okay. So it is an allegorical tale about the plight of Polish Jews at the outbreak of the Second World War. And he's kind of a bit tough going, if I'm honest, Adam.
Really, really? That bad? Like,
Well,
bad's the wrong word. You know what I mean, though?
It's not immediately obvious that it's tough going. if you know what I mean. Because it's a story about a boy and a girl who are friends, and they, you know, they spend their time playing together, and then this event happens, obviously the outbreak of the Second World War, but it's like what they call the robot king invades and subjugates some of the people, and, you know, marks them in red paint, that the other people can instantly recognize them, and then moves these red people to a ghetto, which, of course, you know, that's what happened in Warsaw. You know, they walled up certain areas of the city and put all the Jews in there before, obviously, the final solution occurred.
But, yeah.
So it's kind of like you're playing it and this happens and you kind of go, oh.
So does it not have... Because the thing about Valiant Hearts is there was levity. It was heavy, obviously, and sad and horrible, but there were the kind of art style and character animations led it a bit of levity to take the edge off, I suppose.
It's not, you know, it's not... I'm not saying it's heavy going, per se. Like, you know, it's kind of jaunty art style... The boy and the girl are, you know, really good pals. They work together to solve these puzzles together. And that's kind of, like I think I said to you, it reminds me a little bit of Brothers in the...
Another game I rather liked.
They're both interdependent of each other. So, like, the girl, for example, is able to use a catapult... and the boy is smaller than the girl, so the boy can crawl through like smaller spaces.
Do you control them both at the same time, or do you switch?
You control one or the other. But they hold hands together. The girl can run, the boy can sneak. So if you're controlling the boy and you need to sneak, the girl will sneak with him. Or if you need to move quicker, you switch to the girl and the girl will run and hold his hand and they'll run together.
Okay.
She's got a catapult and he's got like a mirror to dazzle people with, you know, temporarily blind them. So they're kind of interdependent for each other and you need to use both of them to solve these puzzles. And the puzzles are a mixture of things like little numerical puzzles or observational puzzles or the puzzles that I used to love as a kid. You know, those kind of slide-in tile puzzles where you've got to move the tiles to make a picture, those kind of puzzles.
I used to take ages on those bloody things.
I love those puzzles.
They're great, but I was so shit at them.
So it's, you know, the puzzling isn't that different, although there have been some obtuse things where I'm just like, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. And that's... part of my confusion with the game a little bit, in that it's telling this story, this horrific story, really. Yep. Littered around through the levels are these memories that you can pick up, and then you can go to the memories section, and they contain stories about real life people. So, you know, it's obviously telling this awful part of history. You know, through these kind of childlike eyes, really. It's a bit like, again, another... I mean, I don't know if you've ever seen It's a Wonderful Life.
Not for a long time, but...
You know, where the father is, you know, so desperate that his son doesn't, you know, understand where they are, that he creates this, like, a game. And that's kind of like what's happening with these children... that the horrors of what's going on and the fact that the girl is painted red is, you know, like, there's an innocence to them. And it's just a little bit, I don't know, I don't know if I like it, for starters.
Right.
The story is... You know, I guess I'm affected by the story. But the thing is, as well, at times it's a real pain in the arse to play.
Right.
So there's I'm really, like, really conflicted on it. And so trying to get my thoughts straight on it, it's been a bit of a struggle, really, because, as I say, it's telling this really important story about the early days of, the occupation of Poland and, you know, what happened with the Jews and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
So it's telling this really important story, and there's, like, you know, real life stories held within the game for you to find and read about. And yet also at the same time, it's kind of annoying me to play it.
Right. Because it's still a game, ultimately, isn't it?
Yeah, so it's still a game. So I'm kind of a bit like, I don't know if I like this game, but I feel like it's a game that is worth playing, if you know what I mean. But how to actually write about that and then give it a score, at the bottom feels a little bit like, well, I'm not really doing this terrible story justice, if you know what I mean. So I kind of been a bit like, I don't really know. So yeah, it's...
I'm just looking through screenshots. Like, the art looks... It looks lovely. Like,
yeah.
I can't really tell which screenshots I'm looking at that are game or cutscene.
So it's black
scene.
And white.
Yeah,
it's
but
black
there's
and
this
white,
one,
but then
but
there's
red.
Touches of red.
Yeah.
Which, of course, you know, Spielberg did in Schindler's List, and they really...
Oh, I'm seeing the... I see the puzzle you mentioned. Yeah, I'm sorry, go on. I've seen the puzzle that you were mentioning.
So Spielberg used a similar visual technique in Schindler's List. It was all shot in black and white, but then there would be touches of red, which really were like, oh. And that's kind of what this is doing, but not to the same effect. But it, like I say, it's a really... It's an interesting game.
It's startling looking, I will say. Like, yeah. I want to play it, looking at it. Like, I have to admit, I'm not going to... You know, sometimes a look is enough to make you want to try something. It's $12.99, by the way, for the record.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's not... It's cheap. I'm guessing it's not a long one, though.
No. But it's taken me a long time to play it, Adam.
Really? Because it's just a struggle?
Yeah. It's been a physical struggle in that at times, you know, I've to come across an obtuse element in the game, and I'm just like, I don't know what I have to do. I don't know what I have to do here. And then I'll like switch it off and come back to it. And then I go, oh, right, okay. And then there's other times where, because you have to use the boy and the girl to do different things, there's points in the game where you need speed. And the girl has speed, so you have to go as the girl, and then you have to flick to the boy to do something, and then it's like, oh, and the problem is if you get caught, you then have to start right back at the beginning. It doesn't seem to have an incremental point. So it can be a bit frustrating at times.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of annoys me because, you know, the important part of this game is the story it's trying to tell, not the gameplay aspect of it. And I'm kind of a little bit irritated by the fact that the gameplay aspect of it is detracting from the story it's trying to tell. I feel a lot more like it would be more effective and it would have a lot more impact if these awkward elements weren't there and it was just allowed to tell this story. If you know what I mean. I feel like the fact that they've added these gamey bits to it kind of spoil it a bit.
It's funny because, not to move away from it, but it's reminded me, I didn't put it on the list this week, but I also finished the Spider-Man DLC. And I kind of feel the same about that. Like, I've got the point with that. Cause did you platinum that game?
I did. Dead quick, Adam.
Oh, yes. It's a good one to platinum. But would you agree that the grindiest is harsh, but the kind of least fun of it was the just doing all the crimes, like they've added more crimes.
Oh,
Nicola.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, they definitely have a filler feel to them.
Yeah, well, they do when you're just doing them, and I think do you know how Bloodborne, they originally were apparently planning on releasing two DLCs,
yeah,
and in the end they just did that one. Let's face it. Fantastic.
Excellent,
superb bit of DLC. I think I wish that was the same for this one. I wish they just did the three story bits in a one big story thing.
Right.
Because there's even, so it's like there's only specific districts within New York that have new crimes.
Okay.
The rest are still like, they're empty. So it's so obvious that like in part two and three, the other districts are going to have more crimes.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, so I was going to, because like once you've 100%ed it, you kind of want to keep it up.
Mm-hmm.
And they've also, by the way, don't look at it because it will kill you if you're the kind of person who likes a completionist thing. They've added trophies for New Game Plus and it's like, no. Absolutely not.
See, this is why I actually think that the trophy system on PlayStation 4 is better than the achievement system, because at least okay. there is a platinum trophy there.
Yes, yes, okay, yeah.
Whereas
yeah.
If it was an Xbox game, which of course we know it's not, no. I would have 1,000 gamer score, and then all of a yep. sudden there'd be like another 250
yeah.
or
yeah,
maybe 350.
Yeah, okay, so you'd have 1,000.
Like,
oh, yep, yeah, yeah.
For fuck's sake.
Yep. Yeah, that, yeah. Yeah. No.
At least I've got that platinum to say.
Yes.
There we go. It's not 100%,
but
that's I have
it,
that
exactly.
platinum.
Yeah. No, I'm currently at 94%, and I'm like, that's annoying.
Horizon Zero Dawn, because I've got the
yep,
platinum
the
for
same.
That as well, and of course it's had the New Game Plus that it's added trophies
that's
for,
true.
Plus obviously the Frozen Wilds as well. So
I
look I
must
at that,
go back to that,
and it
one
says
day.
Like 80-something%, and I'm
oh,
like,
wow.
but I've got the platinum.
So with Spidey, I did all of the I was like, look, I'm here. It's about 4 or 5 hours. I'm going to do it. I might as well. I'm here anyway. The story I quite like, actually. The story part, it's a bit like the rest of the story in that it's like kind of heavy-handed. You can see where it's going.
Mm-hmm.
But they add this, so there's a trophy for like getting all the... Basically 100% again, but there's also a trophy for... So that you know the challenges...
Yes.
There's basically a new challenge. It's, you know, remember the mission with like the YouTuber Twitch streamer girl, I can't remember what she's called.
Yeah.
They basically that's the new challenges, and I thought I'd done them all, and then I looked at it and it's like you must get, I think it's to the three you know, like gold, silver and bronze equivalent of, you must get silver or better, and I looked at it and I was like,
Right.
I don't think I've in it. So I think it's I've had my fill, if you know what I mean.
Okay, that's fair
but
enough.
But I will play the story, because I, you know, the more I play it, the more I like it. It's a no shock to anyone. Really good game. Which, another really good game. This leads nicely into some news. Well, several new good games. Capcom, the masters of remasters, are bringing Resident Evil 0 and 4 to Switch next year.
Resident Evil 4, a game that just doesn't seem to want to die.
No, like it's Capcom Skyrim, let's
I
be
mean,
fair.
My God, yeah. I love Resident Evil 4, but
hey,
my
I'm with you.
God, how many times will that game get released? Will
what
I
console
be
hasn't
like
it been
65
on?
Playing the PlayStation's, I don't know, 15?
Yep.
And it's like, yep. Oh, Resident Evil 4 is being remastered. It's, and I'll be like, no.
It's like, think about a film classic. Like, I don't know, think of like a Casablanca or something. Like, you stick it on the new format. You know, when Blu-ray's out, you stick it on Blu-ray. But I don't know, because I was going to sound like the most miserable bastard ever if I say, does it really need to come to Switch? Well, of course it doesn't need to. They must sell, right?
Oh,
someone's buying
yeah.
these.
Yeah,
because,
yeah.
But who? Who is buying this? I mean, is it just like Nintendo diehards? Like, no, I must have my Switch. Like, it was on... Oh, fucking hell, what was it? GameCube? It was GameCube, wasn't it? Was it? I can't even remember. GameCube, Wii, it came out on Wii.
GameCube, PlayStation 2, Wii.
Oh, God, yeah, PS2.
Because that's where I originally played it, on PS2.
I forgot about that version. Because it was originally a GameCube game,
GameCube,
wasn't it?
Yeah.
Because they was it the remakes?
And then it was
I can't
ported
remember.
To PS2.
That's right. And
with
then
some additional content or something additional to the GameCube. I can't remember what it was.
I'll be honest with you, right? I haven't played 4 for... Because what version did you review? You reviewed a version a while ago, didn't you? Was
I
that 4?
Reviewed it when it came to...
PS4?
PS4, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, it must be. That was
yeah.
a while
I
ago,
gave it
I would say.
It's a 10
well,
out of 10
it,
game every day.
It completely is. But... I didn't play that version, and I think the last time I played it, I think was the Wii, because they added the motion
okay.
controls.
Yeah, it was good on the Wii.
But here's the thing, right? If I was in the mood, I was like, do you know what? And do you know, actually genuinely think about it, I think, do you know what? I wouldn't mind having a... It's been too long. It's one of those games, you know, a bit like Mario... Well, not quite Mario World-esque, where I like to play it now and again. I haven't played Resident Evil 4 for a long time. I ain't going to be playing it on the Switch. If I'm going to play it again, I probably would go for the PS4 or Xbox One and look at the 4K upscale, bloody blah.
To be honest, that was the disappointing thing about it. See, I bought it again when it came out on the 360. It was like an arcade release or something. I can't remember, but it was a reduced release and it only had 200 gamer score. Didn't have the full 1,000. It was only 200.
Oh, so it must have been
score.
An arcade. Yeah.
And I played it and I finished it. And I played it again, and I was like, oh my God, this game is still incredible. And then, obviously, I reviewed it for PS4 when it was released on New Gen. Mm. And it's a little bit better looking than it was on the 360, but
okay.
They didn't really do a lot of work on it. It really is just upscale. Okay. It's a bit like the Dragon's Dogma
Capcom
where,
again.
You know, it's just a same game released on a better platform, so it runs slightly better. But they haven't done any work on it, and they won't do any work on it for.
Oh no,
the Switch.
None
I mean,
these...
why
well,
bother? Why bother?
People are hoping. People are hoping, and I think hope is the important word, that they'll add the motion controls in for the Joy-Cons.
They probably will, actually.
That would make me have some interest in trying it. We should say also, yeah, I did mention it when I read the story, but we've not even mentioned it, Resident Evil and Zero, the remakes. Oh, yeah. And also Resident Evil news, Resident Evil 2 Steelbook's been announced for Europe. I don't think at any point I could get more excited about this game. Like, the last time we previewed it when we did, like, the three-way chat on it, like, that game... Blimey, that game looks... Yeah, I'm a little bit worried. We must make a point, like we did with Resident Evil 7, and there's probably a game earlier this year, of saying, look, that game come out very early in the year. Let's put a pin in that and remember it come December for Game of the Year stuff, because it's real early. A game that surprised me when I watched you guys stream it recently on how... And a game that if I could just find some goddamn time, I would like to boot up and play some of. Sea of Thieves has another update. Shrouded Spoils.
Yeah.
Coming in November. I'm not going to pretend to know much about it.
They're adding in fog, Adam. Fog.
That's, you know, listen, as mad as it sounds, and I don't mean to sound sarcastic, that's kind of cool.
It is kind of cool.
They've really... Like, when you first... I think it was yours, because you three of you were streaming on Mixer, and so I was going between all three of you, and I think it was you, and you picked up some sort of bounty, and like there's a big plant suddenly filling your camera, and I was literally and Gary I think said it not long after, it's not the same game anymore.
No,
and
it's not.
I just wanted to mention it. There's not a you know, we don't know a huge amount about the update. I just wanted to mention it because I think the updates to that game at some point probably we're going to have a look at a re-review in the same way we did No Man's Sky at some point,
yeah,
at whatever point we feel is necessary. But like that game, fair play to them.
As you know, I adore it, Adam. Anyway,
absolutely.
I adored it when I reviewed it. It's got so much new stuff that, I mean, it's still, you know, I think if you didn't like it before, I don't think things are going to change for you, because ultimately the game is the sailing and it's the bits that happen in between the sailing that make the game. And if that isn't your bag, then the new stuff isn't going to do that either.
Yeah,
but I adore it. I love it.
Fair play. That'll
be
an interesting
7 out of 10 I've played in a long time.
I think that game is going to be one of the real interesting chats in December.
Oh, definitely.
Real
it's definitely going to be something. I mean, if it's not on any lists, I'll be.
It's got to be somewhere. There's got to.
I'll
it's,
put
yeah.
it on some lists because okay. I mean it's a super innovative game. I know it didn't hit the mark for a lot of people, but. My God, it's the most imaginative, risky game.
It's full of wonder.
I've seen for a long time. I love it.
Well,
it's great.
Speaking
fun.
Of games that people love, very briefly, this really, Fortnite saved the world. Remember, well, that's what Fortnite was when it first came out. That was apparently, it's always going to go free to play, and it was always going to come in 2018. It's now delayed to 2019. Doesn't surprise me because.
Because all the effort's going into the Battle Royale, isn't
it? Battle Royale. And listen, I'm not going to get angry about that because business is business.
Yeah.
And speaking of business is business, 2B from Nier Automata is going to be joining Soul Calibur 6 soon.
Yeah.
Makes sense. Great crossover. Brilliant idea.
Mix happy.
There's pictures of 2B with Ivy and he's a happy man.
I don't know. He seems to be a quivering wreck. I don't know if he's
all
right.
Ivy does that to people. I mean, Ivy, when you see the picture of 2B next to Ivy, this is how silly Ivy looks, that you actually look at 2B and go, well, actually, yeah, they were quite respectful with her character design. That's how mad she looks, you know. That's something else. And lastly this week, we won't spend ages on this, but the full lineup for the PS Classic has been revealed. Here's a list. I think it's quite... I've very briefly looked at Twitter, Nicola, and I thought everyone seemed to be cross. And okay. So, Battle Arena Toshinden, Cool Borders 2, Destruction Derby, which I am very shocked by, Final Fantasy VII, Grand Theft Auto, Intelligent Cube, Jumping Flash, Metal Gear Solid, Mr. Driller, Oddworld Abe's Odyssey, Rayman, Resi Evil Director's Cut, Revelations Persona, Ridge Racer Type 4, Super Puzzle Fighter 2 Turbo, Siphon Filter, Tekken 3, Tom Clancy's Rainbow Six, Twisted Metal, and Wild Arms. What do you reckon?
Well, Siphon Filter's on there, Adam. That's got me excited.
Yeah, I mean, like, Mr. Driller's a good game that people probably would say is shovelware, but it's not. GTA, Final Fantasy, Destruction Derby, though.
Oh, excuse me.
Sorry. Yeah, Destruction Derby, like, how is that, how? That, I don't even know who owns that game anymore. Is it Sony?
Like, who knows?
I don't know, it's just, Ridge Racer's on there. You know, Twisted Metal there, I never really got on with them games, but it's, you know, I suppose the argument is, like, if you really don't like the lineup, don't buy one.
I'm not going to buy one, but it's an interesting lineup.
I mean,
nostalgia's a hell of a drug, though, isn't it, Adam?
If it were a PS2, if it were a PS2, do you know what's not on there? I know Tekken 3 is on there. I was going to say Tekken isn't on there, but it is. Tekken's on there. There's nothing. I don't know. I think I need to spend a lot longer thinking about what's missing to get upset about it. But you know. Lastly this week then, some listener correspondence. This first question, I'm hoping you've got a good answer for.
I haven't. No, I'm just looking at it going, I can't think of anything that's not going to implicate me.
So David Ayers says, what's the biggest lie you've ever told? One that doesn't implicate you in anything dodgy. I'm going to be real boring. I'm not, I don't lie about a lot. I was raised that if you've done something wrong, front up about it and deal with the consequences. And as shit and as boring as that is, I've always lived my life that way. I've got nothing more than that. I can't think of any big lie I've ever told.
I can't either.
It's terrible, isn't it, right?
And to be honest...
No, it's not. It's good, it's
honest,
good, isn't
if
it?
If I had told big lie, I wouldn't be saying it on a podcast.
Absolutely. Like, I really can't think of one. I'm so sorry. It's such a boring answer.
I'm trying to even think of one as a kid, you know, like where...
Yeah, same. Like, even something that isn't that big, just something, and I blank, absolute blank. Yeah. Mick Doherty, who is... I've just realised that he's on staff, but thanks, Mick. You could have just... It's nice if you sent the question. You could have just asked us. What era would you prefer to live in? The cowboy or the pirate era? That's a hard one.
I don't know. See, cowboys, it's a bit harsh, isn't it?
It's kind of extra tricky for you as a woman, isn't it? Like, yeah. I mean, neither of these are going to be a good time for you, are they? Well, like, pirate.
You know, playing Red Dead Redemption, you kind of think, oh, that's an harsh lifestyle, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's a bit harsh, that. But then again, so would be a pirate. But I guess pirates are a bit, I don't know, they're a bit, they're both romanticised, though, aren't they?
I've always been fascinated by the sea.
Yeah, I think pirate. Like,
I think pirate, but then more dangerous, but is it? Is it if you're a good pirate, and I don't mean like you're immorally good, I mean if you're just good at being a pirate.
You've got
scurvy to worry about,
aren't you?
Well, that's true.
And weevils.
And if what about seasickness?
Weevils. Yeah.
But then cowboys, they never look, they just don't look like they eat this horrible stew all the time, you know.
Yeah,
I like a stew, but like a nice winter beef stew with some dumplings in it.
Oh, I see, I don't like stew. Not stew fan.
But Nicola, you're northern.
Yeah,
surely dumplings
just,
and stew.
Nah.
What about,
just,
do you like dumplings?
Nah.
What about not dumplings at all?
Nah, they're a bit suet-y, aren't they? Not bothered.
I mean, they are all suet, yeah. but yeah.
No, I'm not bothered.
I love them.
I don't know, I've never... As a kid, I've never been a fussy eater. I like lots of different types of food, but as a kid, I never got on with stew or casseroles as a child. And like, I'd always groan when my mum would say it was either one of those two. As I've got older, I appreciate a casserole, but I've never ever got into a stew. I don't know what it. Do you know what I think? I was about to say I don't know what it is, but I know exactly what it is. I think the only time we ever had stew was when my mum would, you know, like the turkey after Christmas.
Right.
She would strip the turkey down.
Okay.
And she'd boil up that carcass, and it. Oh my God! Even now, the smell of it, I can imagine the smell of it, and make me feel sick. And she'd make like a turkey based stew or thick soup, and
see Claire made a beef stew the other day with dumplings, and it was just when the weather was first starting to get a little bit nippy. And when my wife Claire had a real bad head cold, and that's when you want a stew if you like them, obviously.
Comfort food,
and I'm always of the same. I'm always like, oh, you know, stew. It's a bit in my head, I'm like, it was a bit boring in it, but oh my God.
Yeah.
My God, I polished that stew off.
Do you know what? I guess that if I'd had like a hearty red meat stew, maybe I could see that I might like it now, but no. I'd rather have like a cottage pie or something. If I'm looking for a bit of a hearty.
I'm not against that.
I love a cottage pie.
Have you ever had curried cottage pie or shepherd's pie?
See, I don't like lamb.
No, it doesn't have to be. It's just all it is like it's sort of basically the mash has slightly got a slight curried flavour to it.
Oh, no. No, I haven't. I always make it's
very
always
nice.
A bit cheesy.
Oh, cheesy, yeah, no, again, cheesy. Listen, bit of cheese on top of that, I'm a happy man.
Yeah.
He's asked,
anyway,
would you prefer to be a cowboy
pirates.
Or a pirate? And we're talking
pirates
about stews and casserole. Yeah, yeah, pirates. Okay, pirates. Last one this week is McPoo. Have you ever been in a physical fight?
No. I have. Some girl did try and, like, hit me in a nightclub toilet once. But, like, she was about 5 foot tall, and I'm 5 foot seven, and I had heels on, so I was about 5 foot nine, 5 foot ten, looking at a girl who was 5 foot in heels. And she was squaring up to me a bit, and I remember being drunk and just saying, just fucking shut up. And then we ended up being busy mates and talking about stuff. I don't know. Drink. It's not good, kids. Don't do it.
No.
So, no, I've never been in a fight, but somebody has tried to have a pop at me.
Okay. I mean, I don't think I'm going to shock anyone by saying the answer is yes. I've been in too many physical fights, certainly less so as I became an adult, but I will recount the story of my first a proper fight as a kid, because I still think it's funny to this day and summed up the way my parents approached parenthood. We lived in one of these, I don't know what you'd call them, maisonettes, I suppose, where there was a ground floor that someone lived on, and there were two flights above that was kind of our house. Is it a maisonette? I think it's a maisonette.
I don't know, actually.
Yeah. I forget what that is. But anyway, so this kid and I had been needling each other all day at school. I'm not going to say who was needling who the most because I can't remember. And all the way home, up the road, I lived quite close to my school at the time, and it was just getting to the point where I was like, this is going to erupt. So he hit me. I remember that he hit me first because it was the first time I'd ever been punched on the nose. And to anyone who's had that, it feels like your brain's going to explode out of your head.
Really?
Like that the very first time you are properly hit on the nose is like, I think I'm going to die. And two things happen. You feel the tears start to swell, and then you either do cry or you fight back. And in this time, I fought back. We fought. It was almost like a bloody Benny Hill sketch. We were fighting all the way up the road until we got to the point where we were pretty much outside my parents, my home. And I was on top of the lad. I'd won the fight. And out of the bottom window pops Mum. Uh-huh. Get off him! Get off him! What are you doing? Get off him! Get off him! Then out the top window pops Dad. Go on, son! Hit him! Go on, son! And I'm sure that our listeners will be pleased to know I didn't hit him. I listened to my mother, who was being sensible, not my father, who was very much an army man, who was just like, go on, son, hit him. My point had been made. I'd won the fight. And yeah, I've been in fights since, but that's the one, the first proper one I ever had. How old are my kids now? Maybe a little bit older than them, probably 14, 15.
Right.
It's an interesting one because, like, I don't think, I can't say I don't, you know, I can't speak for the whole of our country, but I, you know, you've got a boy similar age to mine. I don't really hear much about that sort of stuff these days.
I don't know. Somebody online said that somebody's tried to hit him.
Oh, yeah, no, don't get me wrong. It does happen.
He did, like, karate when he was younger.
Oh, good lad. Yeah.
And he just blocked him and put him on his ass and then walked away. Didn't hit him. He just, you know, blocked him and then used that move to put him down on the ground and walked off.
See, my eldest has started doing boxing and I was dead against it at first.
Mm.
It reminded me of my dad because he was a boxer. But I thought about it and I was like, you know what? It's probably a good thing. You know, like I saw the people who were this really popular, by the way. I don't know if it's the same like up north for you guys, but like boxing seems to be very fashionable all of a sudden.
Mm.
And like this, there's like 40 plus children at this boxing class.
Really?
And it was all ages. There were girls there were boys there. And it was like, actually, do you know what? Good on them, because I think these days it's always good to just know how to handle yourself a little bit. Just, you know, in an era where it's become more online, the sort of the nastiness, it's good to still not be able to be aggressive, but be able to get yourself out of trouble.
Not be aggressive, have an outlet for that aggression.
Well, absolutely. It was weird. It was a very strange moment. I watched him with a swell of pride I didn't realise was there. Because I guess it was a link to my old man, who was a boxer, and it was something I wasn't interested in. Mm. It was a really, really surreal moment. And, you know, I don't know. There you go. Mm. That's, again, a bit of a different answer to the simple, have you ever been in a physical fight? I could have just said yes. You could have gone no. And we could have just said that's the end of the podcast.
Yeah.
But that is the end of the podcast. Thank you very much for listening, Nicola. Thank you for being here.
You're
just
welcome.
A two-person podcast this week.
It's very cosy today, wasn't it, Adam? Very cosy.
You know, listen, sometimes you start these and you're like, oh, I don't know, we're going to chat about one game or two games for an hour, but we have achieved it, and easily. I think there's plenty more we could have talked about, and I think there will be more to talk about with Red Dead, because, like you said about the Twitter thing, I've never seen a game go from hot to shit this quick.
I have. I've seen it with GTA.
Oh, well, there you go.
I've seen it with GTA because I go through that myself. Oh, I must have it because all the critics are raving about it. And then I remember why I don't buy GTA because I don't like it.
I hate this. Yep. But you can follow us on Twitter at @wavy_gravy is Nicola. I'm at GBSF, of course, at God is a Geek. And listen, if you like this podcast and you want to subscribe and leave a rating on iTunes, that helps us a lot. But if you really want to help us, $1 a month on patreon.com. Normally we give an extended podcast. This week we're a bit pushed for time, so it's just a podcast. But you will be getting it early, and every podcast, every week you get early. And usually with an extended section that nobody else gets to hear. That's $1 a month, $12 a year. Good value for money on top of everything else with the early videos, exclusive stuff, just general access to the site other people don't get. Nicola, thank you once again
for your time.
And we will speak to you, dear listener, next week or whenever you choose to listen. Bye-bye for now.